This was a man who never demonized political adversaries. Mm-hmm. I mean, he assembled coalitions and he understood that coalitions had to be built, and a person on the other side of an argument you may think was wrong, but you didn't think they were evil. And that's that again made him special, and it enabled him to reach across the aisle and to be trusted on both sides.
In the early part of Eisenhower's first term, various people within the administration, including the president himself, decided that certain changes needed to be made in how the executive branch dealt with Congress. Staffers would be hired and dedicated specifically to dealing with Capitol Hill. Congressional relations, as it was called, had already been used by the military and in other agencies within the government, but it was now time for the president himself to have his own lobbyist before Congress, and Ike knew just who to turn to for this important new role, as George Cook recounts.
Bryce Harlow was brought in as the liaison for President Eisenhower to the Congress, and Bryce hit the House. And that was the first time a president ever had his own lobbyist in Congress. That gave him a singular honor, so to say, around town.
Former Defense Secretary Mel Laird.
Well, he was trusted 100%, not only in the Congress, but also in the White House. He went over to the White House in 1952 to work for General Jerry Pershing, who was a great confidant of President Eisenhower, and he was the number two or number three man in the Congressional Relations Office and was top assistant to General Pershing during the Eisenhower administration for congressional liaison. Bryce did all the work, and he created all the contacts and developed all of the strategy.
Former governor and U.S. Senator from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, explained the importance of the president having his own staff of congressional liaisons.
George Reedy, who was Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, wrote a book called Twilight of the Presidency, in which he said that the president's job is three things. One is to see urgent needs. Two is to develop a strategy to meet those needs. And three is to persuade at least half the people that you're right. On item number three, much of the time your audience is the legislature. If you have a defense appropriation or a foreign policy bill, for example, Bryce used to say that the foreign policy only has one constituent, and that's the president. So somebody has to go up to Capitol Hill and persuade the Congress to pass the president's proposal. And then there's a second job, which is to let the president know how Congress feels about various things. And then armed with that knowledge, you can make some contribution to the policy decisions and say, this is what the Congress thinks, or this is the reaction you'll get on the Hill. You may want to send this up.
Eisenhower staff members Stephen Hess and Ed McCabe recalled why Bryce Harlow was uniquely qualified for this role and how it fit into the specific needs of the Eisenhower administration.
Bryce Harlow had exceptional political smarts. I mean, he gave good advice. And as far as I know, it was without condition. Eisenhower, who was non-political, but he was a general, and so he was Harlow would have been brought in to that mix through his involvement at the Pentagon, and then with the then as the top staffer on the House Armed Services Committee. So he was very much in that group of people who understood the politics of the Pentagon, if you will, and certainly the cross-fertilization between the Pentagon and the Congress, which was terribly, terribly important. I mean, unlike the State Department, the Pentagon needed appropriations, needed big bucks. They had big programs. And anybody who knew how the Congress works was invaluable.
Bryce had a feel for the Hill and where the power centers were, but where the effectiveness of Bryce Harlow could be measured. It was just an uncanny ability to know in the beginning of a legislative project where the decisions are likely to be made. And there might be a relatively obscure House chairman or Senate chairman, but it would vary. And the real genius that should be involved in making legislative decisions in the White House is the ability that Bryce had. The machinery of how it worked were second nature to him.
In performing congressional relations for Eisenhower, Harlow needed to draw on his long experience and his many relationships on Capitol Hill. He was helped in part by his own reputation, as well as that of the man he was representing, Eisenhower staff member Romer McPhee.
Lobbyists are far more effective if they have a reputation for integrity and for playing it straight all the time. It's very important because if you want to have the confidence of somebody, you really have to have that. He always was very straight and truthful, you know, I mean, and of course he was representing Dwight D. Eisenhower. It was not as though he's representing Warren G. Harding. So he had a lot going for him, and then he had a lot more going for him in the fact that he was there for the president.
Later in his career, Harlow would come back to the White House to play the same role for President Nixon. Harlow's colleague on the Nixon staff, Bill Timmons, remembers how the congressional relations shop was configured in the Nixon White House under Bryce Harlow's leadership.
Well, Bryce Harlow was the assistant to the president for legislative affairs, and I was a deputy assistant responsible for the House of Representatives. And Bryce had recruited Ken Ballou, who would work in the Senate. So we were kind of the brawn, I guess, of the operation, not the brains, and spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill talking to members of Congress about what they expected out of the administration, what the president was going to do. We were kind of communicators and also salespersons, because by the time that he made proposals, we had to try to get the votes. And under Bryce's leadership, Ballou and I and several others that were involved in the Congressional Relations Shop had to go out and try to convince members of Congress to support the president.
Both Vice President Dick Cheney and Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld worked with Bryce Harlow early in their careers. They learned his basic technique for getting legislation passed through Congress. Vice President Cheney recalled Harlow's approach.
He was the architect of basic legislative strategy. He was somebody Rumsfeld had great confidence in. The two of them worked closely together. I remember Rumsfeld coming back to the office talking about Bryce's theory of how you worked the Congress. And there was a debate, as I recall, at various times between those who advocated sort of having a hard core of support and always going back to that same base when you wanted legislation passed on the Hill. And Bryce's approach, which was much more one of you went and built the coalition you needed for every vote, but you never did anything on any one issue that would make it impossible to go back to that individual on the next issue and ask him for his vote.
Although it was a different time and the Congress featured a different cast of characters, Harlow's technique and reputation were largely the same. Former House Minority Leader Bob Michael recalled his days serving in Congress and dealing with Nixon lobbyist Bryce Harlow.
Bryce was very good at that. People understood that, you know, he was representing the president, or he was, but he had a certain gift of communication and a way of getting along that you never felt offended when he asked you if you could, you know, do something for them or help them out in any given way, and if you asked for something and you couldn't get it from the White House, Bryce had a nice way of telling you that it couldn't be done, you know, and he just had such a unique personality.
The next segment explores Bryce Harlow's contributions as a private sector lobbyist for one of the most significant companies in the history of corporate America. But more importantly, we will look at the role he played as one of the true pioneers in the profession of Washington lobbying.